Ramayana, Aranyakanda, Part 7. And when he heard about the lovely Sita, Ravana became fully determined to possess her. So he again mounted his chariot, and after crossing the sea, went to the ashram of Maricha, who was dressed like a rishi, engaged in performing austerities. Maricha inquired from Ravana most respectfully, "O king, what is the reason for your early return to my residence?" After hearing of Ram slaughtering the Rakshasas at Janasthan, "I have not found a moment's peace. Therefore I have made up my mind to kidnap Sita, and I want you to help me. And to this end, I have devised a very clever plan. I want you to take the form of a golden deer, freckled with silver spots. Afterwards, go out into the forest and play in front of Sita. Surely she will become captivated by such a wonderful creature and thus desire to have you as her pet. After you prance playfully before her, lead Ram astray. And once you have done this, I will come and kidnap Sita, taking her back to Lanka. And thereafter, when Ram becomes aggrieved and emaciated due to separation from his beloved wife, I will easily be able to slay him." But upon hearing the name of Ram, Maricha became greatly fearful. His mouth dried up, and staring out with unblinking eyes, Maricha addressed Ravana with folded hands. "O Lord, if you try to carry out this plan, it will surely cause the destruction of all the Rakshasas and your kingdom of Lanka. Because of your lusty nature and ignorance of Ram's prowess, you are foolishly rushing towards your own doom. So please hear from me of Ram's supreme potency before you act so blindly and thus bring about your own destruction. Because, previously, I used to wander about this earth, club in hand, feeling very proud of my superhuman strength. I subsisted upon the flesh of rishis in the Dandaka forest. But out of fear, Vishvamitra approached King Dasharatha to solicit Ram's help for protecting the sacrificial performances. And thereafter, while Ram guarded Vishvamitra's sacrificial arena, I ignorantly went there with the intention of disrupting the proceedings. However, with just one arrow, Ram hurled me 800 miles into the ocean, and then he killed all the other Rakshasas accompanying me. When I regained consciousness, having thus been spared by Ram, I returned to Lanka, but was still not cured of my false pride. Taking the form of a large carnivorous stag with a flaming tongue, I returned to the Dandaka forest and roamed about, drinking the blood of the rishis. And as it so happened, I again came upon Ram, who was wandering in the Dandaka forest with Lakshman and Sita. With the bitter memory of my past defeat in mind, and considering how Ram had accepted a life of renunciation, I was determined to gain revenge. However, when I rushed at him, Ram released 3 arrows. My 2 companions were killed instantly, and I fled for my life. I think my life was spared only because Ram's arrows do not kill one who flees from the battlefield. And ever since that time, I have been consumed with fear of this Ram. As a result, my inclination for violence and fighting has vanished. Having given up all malice towards others, I have thus taken to an ascetic life of yoga practice. However, I have failed to obtain peace of mind, for whenever I happen to glance upon a tree, I think that it is Ram dressed in tree bark, and thus the entire forest appears to have become transformed into innumerable Rams. And because of this, whenever I look anywhere, I become terrified. Sometimes I see Ram in my dreams, and I immediately wake up with my heart thumping in terror. Indeed, I have become so afraid of Ram that whenever I hear a word beginning with the letter R, such as Rut and Ratna, even then my heart trembles with fear. O King, for your own welfare as well as for mine, I advise you to forget about kidnapping Sita. Aside from fearing Ram, why should you perform such a sinful act? There is no offense more punishable than the abduction of another's wife. So, remain satisfied with your thousands of wives, and thus save your dignity, fortune, kingdom, and very life itself. Having listened patiently, Ravana then replied, O my dear Maricha, now you must listen to me. I did not come for your advice. I came to obtain your help in executing my plan to kidnap Sita. So as my minister, it is your duty to give advice only when asked, and to obey my orders without question. I have made up my mind, and nothing can deter me. So I want you to take the form of a deer in order to charm Sita. And then, when she begs Ram to capture you, lead him deep into the forest and call out, O Sita! O Lakshman! When he thinks that his brother is in difficulty, Lakshman will leave Sita aside to go help his brother Ram. So just perform this small service, and in return, I will reward you with half my kingdom. However, if you refuse, then I shall kill you myself on this very day. So it is your choice. You may take certain death at my hands, or possible death at the hands of Ram. Now, make up your mind. My lord, flatterers are quite easy to come by, but rare is that person who will speak unpleasant words for the benefit of another. A minister should always give good advice, even if uncalled for, especially when the king is misguided. Unfortunately, however, one who is about to die is never willing to take good advice. O King, if we carry out your plan, I am certain that both of us will wind up dead. Still, I would rather die at the hands of an exalted enemy on the battlefield than be killed by you here. Therefore, let us depart at once. And thus, Ravana was pleased that Maricha saw the wisdom of his ultimatum. He embraced Maricha, and they mounted Ravana's aerial chariot and then departed. After flying over numerous forests, rivers, towns, and fields, they finally landed in the Dandaka forest, where Ram, Sita, and Lakshman were nearby residing.